the edge of our hope, at the end of our time. We have chosen not only to believe in ourselves, but in each other. Today we face the monsters that are at our door. Today we are canceling the apocalypse.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy.
The strength of this starship lay in its diversity.
You see, our glorious diversity, that is not a threat to who we are. It makes us who we are.
You don't just let things happen. You make a stand. You say no. You have the guts to do what's right when everyone else just runs away.
But we must fight this darkness that is threatening to engulf us. Each of us must be a ray of hope.
Rebellions are built on hope.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanty Show. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And today on Signal Boost, we're introducing to you a slightly new format to our already brand new format, and we're calling it Signal Boost Conversations.
Yeah, so basically this is kind of going back to the olden times when Jen and I were basically the only ones on the podcast, and we would occasionally do conversations about stuff. You know, whatever's going on in genre, good things, bad things, happy things, sad thing, that kind of stuff.
Pretty much. So this will be basically a bi-weekly short episode. So every other week, we're going to do the show that you've already been introduced to you, which is Standard Signal Boost, in which we highlight two genre-related podcasts or comics or books or zines or whatever it is that you've heard before from us. And then in between those, we'll have these, our Signal Boost conversations, in which Sean and I basically pick one genre-related topic that we think is important. And then at the end, we're going to each share two things that we just want to talk about.
Yeah. So let's get down to it. The topic for today, which is, I believe we have cleverly titled this Marvel's Nazi Problem.
So clever.
Which is a very perfect title, despite the fact there will be some things we will probably have to mention that a certain somebody says does not involve Nazis, but whatever, Mr. Spencer. Not that Spencer, the other Spencer, in case you didn't know. So for those that don't know, I mean, I think everyone at this point has some vague sense of what's going on, but basically Captain America is part of Hydra right now within this event that's taking place called Secret Empire. And basically this is like one of those comic contrivances where they find some like weird way to make a hero into a villain. And in this case, it involves, as I recall, and I'm just going to read the quote from IGN.com, which there'll be links in the show notes for. While it was revealed that this was caused by the Red Skull using a sentient cosmic cube known as Kobik to rewrite Cap's reality to be a Hydra loyalist from childhood, the fact remains that Cap is now the leader of an evil terrorist group that flies in the face of everything he stands for. Something hasn't been sitting well with some fan. Basically, to give you the kind of recap. And that's basically what's going on. Cap has joined Hydra, a Nazi-affiliated organization. You know, after all, Spencer, who is writing the comic at the moment, Nick Spencer, refers to Captain America as the quote-unquote most trusted and revered figure in Marvel Universe, and sort of that's one of his reasons for why he wants to do this, is take this figure that means so much to people and turn him against things. It's, I guess, meant to be, as he says, the ultimate betrayal for the audience. And I'm sure we will get into many reasons of why that is perhaps indeed a betrayal, but not the kind of betrayal that he thought he was getting. But you want to give a little bit more of the detail, Jen? Any other elements you want to kind of discuss before we dive into the real problems here?
Actually, I think you covered it pretty well. I mean, the problems have been pretty varied in terms of not just the original premise and the fact that somehow Nick Spencer thinks that this actually honors the creators, Jack Kirby and Joe Simon. Yeah. He's actually said things like, well, they did it before. Or if he hasn't, many people use that as an excuse for why this is totally okay.
Yeah, so I have a thing. For those that don't know, Jack Kirby, Joe Simon, both from Jewish families, both Jewish immigrants, created this character, and based on kind of the lore of Marvel, the character is invented kind of as like a giant middle finger to the kind of like Aryan superiority idea that was going on. And Kirby is kind of infamous for very deliberate pre-America entering World War II anti-Hitler stance. Keep in mind, the first comic that ever happened with Cap, the first Captain America issue, had him punch Hitler, and that was before the United States had actually entered the war. Yeah, almost a year before, so kind of a big deal. But apparently, like, the stories about Kirby are, like, when people would show up at, like, the offices and, like, threaten, like, send a message up to him, like, that he would threaten them. And then he would, like, be like, oh, yeah, no, don't worry about it. Everyone else is telling Kirby, just calm down, don't worry about it. And he's like, no, I'll go meet him. It's fine.
Both of them fought in World War II as well, so this was really important to them. Captain America being that symbol that distorted the Aryan ideal by sort of reclaiming it and turning it into the, you know, as Superman is, truth, justice, and the American way, sort of, so to speak.
Right, he stands up for the weak. He's a superior man standing up for those who need people to stand up for them.
Exactly. So that gives you a little bit of background about Cap's history. Hydra's history is a little bit more complicated in terms of its Nazi roots. I would argue that it is very explicitly a Nazi organization, regardless of how much Marvel has in the last year or so specifically tried to disassociate Hydra with the Nazi Party, at least in their print versions. The MCU is an entirely different situation.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think we'll probably mention more later. But the history of Hydra is they came out after the end of the war when they were kind of looking for something for Cap to fight, for the Marvel Universe in general to fight. And they created Hydra, which I don't believe very originally was specifically tied to Nazis, but quickly turned into a Nazi organization as it was led by Baron von Strucker, who was a Nazi leader. This was within the first couple of issues that the Hydra organization was presented, and that continued for a while. They did for a long time, though, just become kind of this evil, faceless organization after the defeat of the Red Skull, I believe.
Yeah, but I think based on Kirby's work, it seems very clear that even if it's not explicitly like, hey, we're actually Nazis, a lot of the iconography and the imagery and the structures of the organization obviously borrow very clearly from fascism.
Exactly. So even if they are not explicitly Nazi, even though they have been explicitly Nazi, they are still implicitly Nazis. It's there. It's there in everything that they do. And what's interesting is that particularly recently with Secret Empire specifically has Hydra doing things that are straight out of the Nazi playbook. Not just the fascist playbook, but the Nazi playbook in terms of rounding up mutants and putting them into concentration camps, in terms of there is a frame that shows white kids running after a black kid, for Christ's sakes. Like, it is very much white Aryan Nazis versus everybody else. And then, of course, in terms of the portrayal of Hydra controlling the news outlets and things like this. This is all in Secret Empire. It is very difficult to extricate somehow that Hydra is not a Nazi organization when they are specifically employing Nazi tactics. So regardless of this entire history of, yes, Hydra may have been for most of its existence in the Marvel Universe, a faceless, sort of nameless, generic evil organization, that has not been true despite how much Nick Spencer and other Marvel staff have said, no, Hydra are not Nazis, despite the fact that they were retconned as some thousands of year old organization that worshipped some inhuman. Despite all that, they are Nazis.
Well, it's interesting that, right, because so Spencer, of course, has claimed that Hydra is not a Nazi organization, just that one that, I guess, finds Nazis useful and so uses them. It will use anybody, basically, if it serves their purposes. Which I'll get back to that in just a second, but I find it really interesting that he seems to recognize, even though he has issues, I guess, with it, that people put a lot of symbolic value in Captain America. He seems to appreciate that symbolicness, which is why he wants to go this route, right? He wants to be edgy and do this new, like, crazy thing because he understands that people put a lot of value in this character, right? We disagree with his choice, but at least I think we can agree that he thinks there's value here. But he doesn't seem to put that same value in the Hydra angle of this, because, right, as you note, right, it is sort of like Hydra's been, like, retconned a little bit, right, as most of the Marvel Universe at this point has been, right, but keeping in mind, right, like, a lot of what the symbolic value of Cap is, like, goes back to stuff that's been retconned, right, old stuff, stuff that isn't really part of that history anymore, or has been rewritten, or retold, or slightly changed, things like that, right, especially in this new universe, all things getting kind of fuddled up. The same thing has happened with Hydra. So one can't have this great symbolic power and I'm going to fuck with it because I know people put a lot of emotion into it and that's great. And this is like stuff basically Spencer said, but you can't then, like, if what they did was he like did a rewrite where he said, I'm going to make Cap a member of Hydra, but I'm also going to make it very clear from the start that Hydra actually isn't the bad guys in this new retcon version of reality, and that's the fuckery we're going to do, is actually Hydra only is like has purged itself of its bad side, and it turns out like it's the Avengers that have been like overtaken by like Nazi sympathizers. And they're just like, that would be, okay, I could see that. Cause then you're like, you're actually saying, look, I get the symbolic value here. I'm going to flip it and make this story that works there. But that's not what's happening here. We sort of like have these symbolic value on one side and like, let's ignore it on the other side for convenience. And it also raises, which I said I'd come back to, right? Since he claims it's not a Nazi organization, cause I don't think he appreciates the symbolic value. He makes this argument, and you kind of, I think, rightly pointed out, right, that if it's not a Nazi organization, but it behaves like a Nazi organization or uses Nazis when it's convenient to its purposes, is that separation actually as clear as Nick Spencer wants us to think it is? Because I'm not convinced.
Right. If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, then perhaps it might actually be a duck.
It might be a goose, but that doesn't mean the goose is good either.
Exactly. And as you pointed out, there are so many ways to tell a story that would have been effective, that could have taken Captain America as a symbol, which rightfully so, I think it is very important to question our symbols sometimes.
Sure. And Cap does. Cap questions it a lot.
Cap does constantly. Right. But I think it's valuable to, especially now, to examine how those symbols can be subverted. Unfortunately, they seem to be doing that in such a ham-fisted way that it's not coming across. And this is definitely one of those situations where intent just doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't. Because there are a lot of people who are getting incredibly hurt by this storyline. Not just on a symbolic level, but because of the current environment in the United States specifically, but I would argue abroad as well, where anti-Semitic attacks are up by 86%, where we literally have people getting put into prison camps in the United States for being immigrants, where we have gay people rounded up in Chechnya and put into concentration camps where they are undergoing conversion therapy.
And that is not in any way like that. That's not hyperbole. Like they're actually being put in concentration camps in Chechnya.
Exactly. These are literal things that are happening right now. This is the reality that these people are creating again. And I don't care that they say that they started this 2 years ago, in 2015. This has been something that has been on the rise since 2015. And at any point in time, they could have gone through and scrapped that. Alexandra Aaron had a fantastic thread on why she believes that Marvel is basically just going full bore with this. And it's basically because they probably recognize that they fucked up royally and now they have no choice. I would disagree.
Of course they had a choice.
Right. They've had a choice this entire time. They've had a choice since last year when this first came up, right? This is not new. They've been working on this for a while. We've known about this for a while. The backlash has been there for a while. And they're doing nothing. They're doubling down, they're tripling down, and it's becoming worse and worse and worse. And they haven't put any controls on Nick Spencer at all, clearly, because his rants are just...
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. So I guess we should maybe get into what I think are like the major problems. So first I will say that that argument you just presented, right? The notion like they feel backed into a corner and they know they fucked this up. They just have to go through with it. I'm speaking somewhat ignorantly because I don't actually know production schedules for comics. So maybe they've already drawn and like printed these out and like financially they just can't scrap it, I guess. But I doubt that. But like, if you just look at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, as a great example of the contrary, like, do you think they really planned all of the stuff that's happening in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where it's like very clearly middle finger Donald Trump, very clear middle finger alt-right, very clear middle finger Secret Empire version of Cap? Do you think that they had that all planned like a year ago?
No.
I don't think so. I think some of that was written in fairly recently, like maybe months ago, like, you know, a while back, like, but still.
But this has been a pretty obvious thing that you should probably be writing into your stories for quite some time. I would say, maybe since November of last year, at the very least.
Well, and after all, the controversy over this has been well over a year.
Well over a year.
Right, we've been talking about it, and not to mention, right, that, like, don't even get me started, and, like, I guess Magneto is supposedly going to be part of this whole fuckery. And, like, I already find it deeply offensive that a character created by two Jewish men, basically as a middle finger to Nazis, essentially. Like, that already, making that character associated with a Nazi organization, that to me is, like, just, that's just disgusting. But the notion that you would take a Holocaust survivor, a character who one of his most defining traits, and we could, that, you know, problematic as that can be, right, his, one of his defining traits is the fact that he is a Holocaust survivor, and that affects his entire narrative, how he sees the world, how he sees everyday regular humans versus mutants. And then you're going to make him part of an organization that would have contributed to that. And indeed, as you pointed out earlier, is currently contributing to it. That to me, like, I could almost buy the argument, I don't, but I could almost buy that maybe with Cap, there's a little bit of, like, we're just idiots and we're a little bit, like, ignorant and we don't realize we're kind of fucking up. And, like, I could get, maybe it could almost get there, but with Magneto, I can't. Like, that is so blatantly, like, that to me is, regardless of intent, that is, like, anti-Semitism 101.
Yeah, it basically is. And there's a lot going on in terms of the danger of turning Cap into a Nazi and co-opting Magneto to work with Nazis. And the symbology that they're using in all of this, I mean, as we said, clearly Hydra is basically drawn to look like Nazis most of the time. They wear armbands, you know, like the whole fucking nine, like they have for a while.
They're a fascistic organization.
Right, exactly. But what this is doing to people, I mean, I've read threads of people who are like, I literally have to tell my niece and nephew who love Captain America, are now hearing that he's a Nazi and are going, wait a minute, does that mean I have to be a Nazi too?
Oh, Jesus.
Right? People are dealing with this on a very real level with their children who are definitely getting influenced by what is going on in their comic books.
And Nick Spencer has repeatedly, like, pushed against this as though this doesn't matter. And I'm sorry, but that's bullcrap.
It is bullcrap. I honestly don't like the fact that my husband still wears his Captain America shirt because I just don't.
Is he wearing comic Cap or is he wearing MCU Cap? Because they're very different.
It's the MCU Cap. It's just the S.H.I.E.L.D. shirt.
I feel less, it's a little less dirty. Because the MCU is, like, apparently, I can't remember, Kevin Feige, is that his name?
Kevin Feige, yeah.
Yeah, he is, like put, like a hammer wall. Like, he walled him, the MCU off from the comics. Apparently, that's, like, the inner scoop, is that he has made this effort to basically oust all the people in the comics that are doing stupid shit, so that they're not involved in the MCU.
I hadn't heard that, but thank goodness.
That's what I've been hearing. I mean, obviously, this is a lot of, like, in comic book circle rumor kind of stuff. I don't know how confirmed that is, but it wouldn't surprise me because Marvel, I think, like, Disney especially, like, I think is very protective of the MCU because it makes them, I mean, for obvious reasons, it makes them a shit ton of money. In a way that I think it has been a problem at DC. It's not as protective of its property as Marvel has, which is why I think we've got so many blunders on DC's part just in terms of general quality of film, whereas Marvel, you know, 9 times out of 10 is hitting it out of the park, as I think it's because there's more of that protectiveness.
Their MCU is. Unfortunately, they're not hitting out of the park, and they're having multiple fumbles in terms of their print. And we'll put a bunch of this in the show notes, but things like the bombshell characters that was in the Sam Wilson as Cap run, which were basically making fun of social justice warriors, mocking social justice in general. It was disgusting. A comment from, I think, Captain Marvel, who insults Magneto for being a Holocaust survivor.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's gross.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty gross. And then, of course, their VP coming out and blaming women and diversity for their sales slump.
And then having to backtrack it, which thank goodness they at least backtrack.
Well, that's something anyway. At least they're not doubling down like Nick Spencer, right? But they still haven't gotten rid of Nick Spencer, so.
Well, and this is the problem, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not buying their comics, personally. I will not be re-upping my Marvel Unlimited this year unless it's fixed, unless all of this is somehow apologized for. I will not be renewing that. That's $100 a year. I'm just not going to be spending it. I'm not going to go see their movies. I'm not going to be watching their Netflix shows. I'm done with Marvel. I am literally fucking done with Marvel at this point. Because they have so absolutely betrayed not just the creators, the character. They have betrayed their readers. They are feeding into the hate of the alt-right. They are handing them symbols.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a thing I didn't mention. But there's a great thread, Doreen Dawes, who's talking about how apparently in like alt-right circles, they've like latched on to Viking iconography as like a symbol for their sort of Aryan superiority, I guess, kind of angle. And the very notion that Cap would, while being in this state of working for Hydra and supposedly being evil, right, would be worthy of lifting Thor's hammer, like that is, like feeds right into that. It's horrifying.
It's utterly disgusting.
It is, yeah. Well, so I get that you have hit your line and you've just dropped them, which means they've lost $100 a year minimum, because maybe you would buy trades or well, and then movies, however many movies you don't go see. That's a good chunk, right? And I'm sure a lot of other, especially women and people of color, have probably dropped Marvel, or have been more focused in how they target their economics. And this is the problem that I have. Because like one of the questions I have in our show notes is, what do we do about this? And your answer you've already given is you're just cutting. You're done.
I'm cutting and I will yell. That's all I have, unfortunately.
And that's the thing is, I get that there's a conversation here where it's like, well, look, but what about all these comics that are actually doing good work? Like, you know, Miss Marvel and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. I really want to support those comics, but I already don't read Cap. I mean, I will never read a Nick Spencer comic ever. Like, we'll have links in the show notes of just how he behaved towards critics, people who are just any kind of criticism, however minor. And he just is endlessly on Twitter being a jerk.
This is one of those situations where there are so many good things in the world.
There are.
Why don't I go celebrate them?
Because that's the thing. Like, I don't think Marvel understands. Like, even if Marvel were just to play it really safe and just do comics that weren't super political, but like were diverse, like, even if they just did that, where they played it super safe, they probably would be better off than they are now. And that's the horrifying thing. And for me, the question becomes, I'm kind of like you. I understand the argument against not dropping Miss Marvel and all of those, because they're great comics and they deserve support. But on the other hand, because I don't read this other side of this, and they're not listening to me publicly, like they're not listening to anybody about this, my only recourse is to punish the company economically and to just drop. And my line won't be Cap. It's going to be if they actually make Magneto part of Hydra, that is my line. If it's actually in the comic that they've, like, it's not just a thing like, oh, PR, like, right? Cause like, whatever, like, okay, you could do a variant cover just to be flashy, whatever. I want to know, is Magneto actually part of this organization? Cause if he is, I'm done. I'm out. That is my line. That is too far.
I can see that. I mean, that's fine. I will respect your line. Me showing Cap with the hammer was definitely my line.
That's your line. That's fair. Well, okay. Well, anyway, there's a lot of stuff. There'll be more show notes. We didn't talk about nearly any of this.
So many show notes.
Yeah, so go to the show notes. There'll be tons of Twitter threads, articles, all kinds of stuff in there that you can check out that give you more stuff, even things we didn't talk about. But the end of this is going to be all about happy things now. It's going to be boosting.
Yay!
We're calling this mini boost because they're short and they're just things that we want people to check out that we think are great for whatever reason. And so, Jen, why don't you take it away? What are the two things you would like to share with everyone?
So two things that I found last week is, first off, the science fiction and fantasy artists of color Twitter account at SFFPOCArtists, and absolutely worth checking out. They're brand new, so give them some time, I'm sure, but they highlight people of color that are creating gorgeous, amazing artwork that is genre related. So well-known people like John Picasso are on there currently, Wynonna Nelson, who does Magic the Gathering art. And so I think they're spanning the spectrum from professional to fan art, although I literally don't even know what the difference is anymore. So keep that in mind. But it's just a great Twitter account to look at some beautiful artwork and to hopefully be introduced to some new artists. And then second, Universal FanCon. It's a new convention. Their first meet is next year. April 27th to 29th in Baltimore. The reason that I've been kind of tracking this for a while, some big names in sort of the blurred community specifically have coordinated this. Jamie Broadnax from Black Girl Nerds, for instance, Black Geeks, I Need Diverse Games, The Disability Project, Mega Sheen Pod. There's a whole bunch of people that are getting involved that created this convention that is specifically, they're dedicated to inclusion and are highlighting women, LGBTQ, disabled, and people of color. So their guests, for instance, are primarily, I think actually at this point, are all people of color. They've got a Native American comic book writer or artist. They've got Orlando Jones is going to be there. So the reason I'm mentioning them right now is they have early bird tickets. So if you want to go to what sounds like a very cool convention highlighting inclusion and diversity, I recommend going to their website, universalfancon.com. Follow them on Twitter, at universalfancon. Go buy some tickets. They're only $49.99 right now. That's the early bird special. So super cheap for the entire weekend. That sale is over on May 31st. Honestly, I would be surprised if it actually makes it even that far. They're only selling 500 early bird tickets. So get on it, especially if you're in the Baltimore area and it's really cheap for you to go. So those are my mini boosts.
All right, excellent. So mine will be, I think, pretty quick because it's a book and a sort of TV show. So the first one I want to share is just something I recently discovered called Harmon Quest. It's got Dan Harmon, who's behind things like Community and other kinds of really great shows like Rick and Morty. So some stuff I already love. Basically, the premise of this show is it's partially animated. It's Dan Harmon, two of his friends, and a DM, and they get a random like comedian or some sort of celebrity, you know, someone to come on and basically participate. And each episode is part of a narrative. Basically, they're playing D&D, just like watered down rules, and they animate the actual world as it's happening, as they're going through the events. And it is both charming and possibly some of the most fun I've ever had watching anyone play a game ever. It's so dorky. Like, Dan Harmon's character literally has dad issues, and they keep bringing it up like every episode as part of his character's development. Like, out of the blue, it just comes up. And it's amazing. It's a wonderful show. It's really quirky and geeky. It's a lot of fun. And I really recommend it. It's on a network called CISO. I can't remember which of the major network places that belongs to, but it's CISO.com, S-E-E-S-O.com. You can just find it there. It'll also be in the show notes. The other thing I want to share is a book / trilogy. It's technically a trilogy of books, by Zoran Zivkovic. I hope I've said his last name correctly. I've been a fan of his work for a while now, and I'm currently reading this for review for Strange Horizons, which that review will be late, just in case anyone who works at Strange Horizons is curious, because it's a 600-page book. So it is three novels. It's called the Papyrus Trilogy. It is really fantastic. If you like Zoran Zivkovic already, you're going to love the crap out of this book. The first book is called The Last Book, then there's The Grand Manuscript and The Compendium of the Dead. And the basic premise of the first book, which I am adoring, is there's a bookstore called The Papyrus. It is, you know, kind of a specialty bookstore, and suddenly people keep dying, and there's no explanation for why they die, and it gets sort of caught up into this detective's life as he's trying to uncover the mystery, and there's, like, cultists involved, and it's kind of quirky and fun, and there's a lot of conversation about narrative and how books work, and it's just really, really good. And it's a lot of fun. It's not like a crazy book. It's just so, like, I just find myself engrossed in it. And I really think people should read it. If you've never read Zoran Zivkovic's work, you really should, because he is fantastic. The only downside to this book is it's apparently expensive. So that sucks. So it comes out from a small press called Cadmus Media. I hope there's going to be like an ebook version soon, but if not, it's like $40 for this trilogy, which sucks, but it is hardcover, so at least there's that. And it's 600 pages, so...
So, worth it?
I personally think it's worth it. I would pay $40 for this. I didn't, because I got a review copy, but I cheated. So, anyways, that's it. That's all I got.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to us on Signal Boost Conversations. We hope you liked it. And join us next week as we highlight two more amazing things on the interwebs.
Bye.
Bye.
Awkward ending. And scene. Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com, on Twitter at skiffyandfanty, on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show, and on Patreon at patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. Our intro and outro music comes from The Launch by Chronux. You can find out more about their music at freemusicarchive.org.